everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kicking Out at 2 here this week, as we're going to be covering on the 25-year anniversary, the Hollywood Hogan, Dennis Rodman against Diamond Dallas Page, Karl Malone mega celebrity match from Bash at the Beach 1998. It took place July 12th, 1998. We're going to be covering it here in watch-along form and talking about celebrity involvement in wrestling and the angle itself in WCW and even sports, because, you know, basketball, Malone being with the Utah Jazz, Dennis Rodman playing for the Bulls. Both teams were in the NBA Finals at that time. We're going to talk a little bit about that and then some here on this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Press and play, download, like, and subscribe, and rate, and review, and doing all that jazz here with us. And joining me to assist me in this watch-along here, my good, dear, close, personal, longtime friend, a sports enthusiast. So this kind of might be a little bit up your alley here, yeah, too. Dennis J. Levy. What's going on, bud?
Always a pleasure, Dave. And excited for the podcast. And yeah, it was pretty nuts, this whole how the match got put together. So, yeah, I'm excited
for this. Yeah, it is. I mean, it went from... It spanned different forms of television. You know, the match was booked essentially on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, mm-hmm. And then once it was made official that Rodman and Malone were going to be involved in a match, that chatter turned over to the basketball court as the Utah Jazz and the Chicago Bulls were in the NBA Finals. And then eventually the angle continued to transpire on WCW programming. And I know that in the past, before I get to that, because I want to just get everybody, you know, on the same page here, go to your Peacock. You're going to search WCW Bash at the Beach, Season 5, Episode 1. What I'm going to have you do, once you get to that, turn the volume down or mute it, then you're going to fast forward all the way to 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 36 seconds. It's going to start with a video package of some of the events that transpired before the match, and then we're going to watch the match in full. So it's going to be roughly around like 40 minutes or so, this watch-along is going to be here. So while you're doing that, the last time we talked, the last time you and I talked, which is going to be for... it wasn't for an episode. It was for your wild card episode. You talked about you were kind of down on wrestling in 1998 a little bit. And the Al Snow Sabu ECW match kind of, I guess, piqued your interest again.
Yeah.
What about your interest in this match itself at that time that you can remember in 1998? Was it there? What did...
So, in my opinion, basketball... with Michael Jordan in the return, and this was year 3 of the three-peat.
The second three-peat.
I thought it was the third one, because they went in Seattle.
Well, no, I'm just saying it was the second three-peat that they...
Oh, second three-peat, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you meant it was the second of...
No, it was Seattle and Utah, Utah twice,
Yep, exactly. Yep.
For basketball enthusiasts out there, go check out The Last Dance on Netflix. Probably one of the greatest documentaries in all of sports. Unbelievable.
Oh, but totally second that opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's 10 parts, so you got time to absorb it. It was a big thing during COVID.
Yeah.
When television was kind of at a standstill. But anyways, go ahead. You were saying.
Remember, one last point on the Last Dance too. That is brief, but they do talk about this match.
They do mention this match, and the story was that Rodman missed practice, and Rodman showed up on a Nitro during the finals, missing practice, and that led to the conversation that Michael Jordan details in the documentary where Rodman goes to Phil Jackson, the head coach, and says, I need a couple of days. Like, I just need a few days to just kind of, veg out, do my thing, and I'll be back ready to work. And so Jackson tells Jordan what Rodman's intentions are, and he was like, you do not let him go. Like, we're in the middle of the fucking NBA Finals. Do not let him go. Like, you let him get on that plane. He's not coming back in 48 hours. Because that's what Robin agreed to.
Yep.
Robin said, I need 48 hours. Jackson said, okay, 48 hours. Well, he didn't show up. And I guess Jordan and Jackson chartered a flight, and they went out to Vegas to go pick him up. And they dragged Rodman to practice, and Rodman reeked of a goddamn brewery. But yet he still worked hard. Like he was the epitome of burning the candle on both ends.
Yep.
He was the Jake the Snake Roberts of basketball. You know, he worked real hard on the court. When it was time to go to work, he was there. He could have been fucking hungover for, went on a 3-day bender, but he would go on his benders. And when he came back, he worked just as hard, maybe even harder than some of the guys that didn't, partake in that lifestyle. So, it was a great documentary. Go check that out. It's kind of tied into what we're going to watch here. So, good thing we went around the block a little bit.
Yep.
Now we are here. 1 hour, 58 minutes, 36 seconds. From time to time, I might play the audio. I might play the audio during their entrances because Michael Buffer is the ring announcer, and just to kind of hype the magnitude of this match, if you will. 25 years to the day here on Kicking Out at 2. Bash at the Beach, 1998. Rodman, DDP, Hogan. Rodman, Hogan, DDP, Malone. Dennis, you ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right, let's do this. All right. When I say play, press play, and we will be on our way with this watch along. In 3, 2, 1, hit play. As we see highlights of the press conference that took place between both teams here setting this matchup. Now, I talked about it earlier. You're a basketball, you're a sports enthusiast. You like, for the most part, pretty much all sports.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay? As a basketball fan, what was your, and being a wrestling fan, what was your take on Rodman and Malone's involvement with this upcoming match, knowing the history of celebrity involvement in wrestling? Were you excited? Were you expecting a stinker? What were your thoughts that you can recall going into this? As you see a clip of Malone body slamming and clotheslining Hogan on an episode of Nitro to set this up.
So, to be quite honest, I don't really care. But at the time, I hated Malone and I hated Robin. I hated both of them. That Malone, he had those allegations before he got drafted of being a little hanky panky with some girls who were
really
underage. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's why a lot of people never really liked the male.
Shit.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep. He had allegations on that sort of thing. And, of course, Robin was always kind of like...
Robin was out there.
Yeah, he was kind of a scumbag. The great basketball players, obviously. Like when I watch him play basketball, it's like...
Hall of Famers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, really kind of bad human beings. I never liked Dennis Rodman. And granted, too, I was
10 years old when I found out that Karl Malone had some allegations about sexual misconduct. That's wild. Yeah. But continue.
Yeah. I was always a Celtics fan, and Rodman, of course, started off with the Pistons, and the Pistons Celtics in the late 80s had a rivalry.
Yeah.
So I always hated these two.
Okay.
So what percentage of at the time was I excited for this match? 0%.
Okay.
Because A, and also too, I like the NWO. But, I don't know. It's going to get stale a little bit.
It was getting stale. Yeah, I mean, I can understand that to a certain degree. They split the NWOs up. We've kind of talked about this. They put Sting in the Wolfpack, and pretty much everybody that wasn't, a WCW wrestler was in either of the NWOs. Bret Hart was in the NWO at one point. So, yeah, I can totally understand your lack of interest in this match. Now, I have a few questions for you regarding when it comes to celebrities in wrestling and their involvement. Let me get here. All right, so you had no interest in the angle, but what about the Bulls Jazz series itself? Like, And
no one... I loved it. Yeah. I really did. It was just good basketball. You just you just watch these games and then you talked about it with your friends and then the next day and stuff like that. Like the basketball itself were incredible. The only shame, I kind of wish that the Jazz at least one time made the seven games.
Yeah.
Because
it was exciting to watch. It was like I wanted them to keep playing forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of like when wrestling fans say fight forever. I'm with you there.
Yep.
They had some incredible games. I do remember one instance where it was a game in Utah. I don't remember what game it was. But Rodman and Malone were under the hoop going for a rebound.
Yep.
And neither of them got it. But somehow their legs got intertwined, and I think Malone was trying to get up, but Rodman tripped him, or vice versa. I don't remember, but I do remember, excuse me, Bob Costas was calling the game, and Bob Costas made some slick remark about wrestling, said something to the effect of, Rodman and Malone, no strangers to each other, is this a precursor to what we're going to see for their wrestling match in San Diego next month, in the month of July or something like that? It was like a little tongue-in-cheek, and Costas was always known for not being the most sympathetic towards wrestling
itself.
That's
because of Vince McMahon. Him and Vince hate each other.
Yeah, for a while, he had some beef with Vince. Yeah. I think he's in a better place with him now, but for a while he did have some beef with Vince. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about previous celebrity involvements in wrestling. Give me some of your best, some that you liked, and give me some that you just thought were downright awful.
All right. This is kind of like a cheater thing I'm about to say because it wasn't like really in the moment, but I love the Andy Kaufman stuff.
In retrospect, like in hindsight, because were you alive when they had?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weren't watching it.
No.
Okay.
I don't think in Connecticut you could. That
it was Memphis.
Think so.
It was all Memphis. Memphis territory.
I can even vaguely remember my grandma asked me, "Do you know who Jerry Lawler is?" And I'm like, "I think I do." Like, where are the names for it? It was like, him and Andy Kaufman had a fight on the TV last night. And I'm just like, I have no idea.
I'm guessing maybe that was from the Tonight Show when Lawler slapped Kaufman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. We watching that stuff. I wish I was there. The heat Andy Kaufman had, the angle. I mean, his wrestling was the shits, of course. But everything else was fucking amazing. His promos, him beating the shit out of these girls. I'd be like, he takes this girl that's 300 pounds, beats the shit out of her, like, "See, Laura, I can beat the shit out of you."
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was the women's world champion, from Memphis, Tennessee.
So that worked for, I just wish I watched that when it was actually going on.
Yeah.
I'd already been 5 or 6 years old, so maybe I wouldn't have processed it properly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I appreciate Andy Kaufman.
Yep.
Even though I probably mentioned this story before, I served Pete Rose before. And he was a total piece of shit to me. But anyway, I'll stop it there. But I love Pete Rose when he got tombstoned by Kane. How entertaining was that?
Yeah.
He sold it good. He was a douchebag. Like Pete Rose, that was a good celebrity. I know we brought this up a couple times on this podcast, but LT, he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm trying to think. Of course, who's that Logan Paul? Every time I watch him,
I was gonna ask. Hold that thought because I was gonna ask you about the more recent celebrities, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on some of the best that you've enjoyed over the years. We're watching this match took place in 1998, a few months prior. Mike Tyson was involved in WrestleMania with Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels.
Of course, Mike Tyson.
What were your thoughts on Mike Tyson's involvement? And 1998 was a big year for celebrities in wrestling.
I just wish that Tyson and Stone Cold had a match.
Okay.
I bet you that's what Vince was looking for. Like, have Shawn Michaels fight whoever the fuck. And then for the main event, Stone Cold versus Mike Tyson.
I'm willing to guess that based on the shoving match the two of them had on that episode of Monday Night Raw, yeah, and the reaction that it got, it made SportsCenter, you know? It made SportsCenter. It made the news. It was to the point where some news outlets thought it was real because of the unpredictable personality that Mike Tyson was, you know?
And Stone Cold.
Yes. To some degree, yes. There's truth to that as well. A Tyson-Austin showdown, we've kind of talked a little bit about it on this podcast, but it's kind of a hard one to book because you got Mike Tyson, who was the hottest he had ever been in boxing. He was at the time, he was suspended from.
I don't know if I agree with that. Wait. That's the.
I'm not saying from his boxing. I'm talking about his popularity.
Yeah.
Okay. He was at the hottest because of what he did 8 months prior in the fight with biting Evander Holyfield's ear. You know, he was. Boxing commissions wouldn't, you know, renew his license. He was suspended indefinitely. I mean.
Because of that, and that's the reason why he couldn't wrestle, right?
Well, that was a big reason why, yes, if there was an idea for him to wrestle, he wasn't allowed to. Like, that was even why he wasn't even the referee. He was the guest enforcer. So he had that one spot at the end where he made the count, and he fast counted Shawn Michaels, and then he knocks him out at the end. Because they were really careful with his physical involvement because he was also trying to get back into boxing at that time. Is there any others that from the past that come to mind that you're...
For that it's in the good category?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
Okay. Talk to me about some of the worst.
The worst one was John Stewart. Loved the man. But him involved in that John Cena match. Oh,
with Seth Rollins.
It was awful.
Yeah, I wasn't too big of a fan on it. I don't think it. I mean, within the context of the story, some of it didn't make sense. For weeks, him and Seth Rollins are on TV going back and forth with each other, and then he helps Rollins win. Like, it was a cheap way to keep the title on Rollins because they're trying to make Rollins at the time as the champion. And, you know, you put him in there against Cena. Fantastic match until you got to the finish. And then the explanation that, I didn't want to break Ric Flair's record. I wanted to break Ric Flair's record. You know, that's why I did it. Like, I don't know. I'm with you there. I wouldn't say that's the worst, but that's one of
them.
That's
mine. That's mine.
So there's no others that compare.
Sure. That, another one, you know better than me. I forgot what the celebrity was and I'm putting you kind of like your feet on the fire a little bit.
Okay.
But WrestleMania 2, there was a guest celebrity announcer, and she was a female. It was during
she was with Vince, right? In the New York portion?
Yep. Oh, it was awful.
Oh, what's her name?
Unbelievable.
Shit. You really put my feet to the fire. Is it Susan St. James?
You can say it. I wouldn't even know.
You know what? Let me look it up.
But I'm just saying, like, the matches were the shits already. And it was like, what made it, like, over the top bad was, like, her commentating. That's what I'm telling you. Like people, like, work rate-wise, there might be better.
Let me take a look.
There might be worse WrestleManias, work rate-wise, than the two. But, like, that was the shit cherry on the shit Sunday for me. And in my opinion, that makes WrestleMania 2 the worst one. Like,
yes, Susan St. James. She was awful. She was best known for her role on the hit TV show Kate and Allie in the 80s. Yeah, she was. That probably wasn't the best role for her. Maybe if she did a ring announcing job, but you also got to remember too. And I'm not making excuses, but you also have to remember too that. They took the entire company and spread them across three different cities. So they were trying to give, I don't know what they were trying to make the best, you know, of the resources that they had in each city. Elvira in Los Angeles with Lord Alfred Hayes and Jesse Ventura was the commentary team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Chicago was Gorilla Monsoon, Gorilla Monsoon, Mean Gene Okerlund, and Ernie Ladd. And then I think some female actress, I don't even know, from the 80s that was involved in that as well. But yeah, those had to be some. I sympathize with you. That was pretty. That wasn't the best role for her.
Yeah.
Any others?
Donald Trump. I thought he kind of sucked.
And we've talked about it. You thought the haircut match and that whole WrestleMania sucked.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. See, granted, I was at that WrestleMania, so I didn't think it sucked. And Trump's role was silly, but he did okay. I didn't like Trump's involvement with wrestling when he came back a couple of years later and he was the owner of Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. And then that's how they created the guest host concept, where you had all the different celebrities, which for the most part, I could probably count on one hand the amount of good celebrities that were involved in that guest host concept than there was bad, because there was a lot of bad celebrities.
The only one I thought was amazing, and I wish that he actually had that, for a while, was Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura, as a commissioner for that one day, he implemented...
That wasn't bad.
I thought you knocked that out of the
That park. Wasn't bad, yeah. And they brought him back. They put Vince back in the booth with him so they can call the main event together. Like that, yeah, that was... Vince came out with the red bow tie. Like, that was kind of cool. I dug that one. I dug Bob Barker from Price is Right, just for the simple fact that I grew up watching Price is Right.
That was a good one. That was another fun one.
When he did that, I liked that. I didn't like when they had him beat up Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
But... other than that, his involvement with Jericho, and they had the Price is Right theme to the show. I thought that was pretty neat. I'm trying to think. Some of the other bad ones.
Who's that guy that does Family Guy? He was terrible. Not like the main guy, but like, you know, the guy that
he was
does
the voice that does Stewie. I forget you. I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't even remember that until you brought it up.
Yeah, the claymation stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, and they had the Muppets host Raw.
I don't remember the Muppets.
Yeah, they had the Muppets host Raw because they were trying to promote the movie at the time. Those were pretty bad. I can't even think of who else. Did you know? You know, as we're watching this here,
of course, David Arquette. Oh, fuck him.
That's all right. Yeah, we could touch on that subject a little bit. So, you didn't. You're in the majority that Arquette was not the right choice.
You know what? Maybe the most mad actually too. Me and a friend were drinking beers, watching that match because he liked Friends and he was like, oh, let's watch Dave Arquette win the title, and I'm like, whatever.
But he wasn't on Friends.
No, yeah, he was. Courtney Cox.
Well, he was married to her.
No, but he was also on the show.
He made an appearance on the show? Okay. I didn't watch Friends, so I didn't even know.
I think it was Dave Arquette. And
I don't recall him making an appearance.
Wasn't he the one? No, that was a different person. No, I think you might be right. I think maybe he wasn't. But anyway, we watched him because he liked Friends, and I guess maybe Courtney Cox, whatever. The part that made me the most mad was when he wins the title. You know who gets all excited? Fucking DDP. Motherfucker, you lost the title and you're celebrating. What a fucking idiot.
Well, I mean, that was Vince Russo's version of WCW at the time. Did you ever hear the story about that? About how they came up with Arquette?
No, you gotta tell me.
So, you know, this was spring of 2000. Bischoff had just came back into the company. He was working with Russo together. He was overseeing the creative. So Bischoff didn't have an executive position in the company. He was just a creative writer with Russo. And they were trying to come up, you know, they had the Ready to Rumble movie that was coming out or had just come out in theaters. The one with all the WCW wrestlers.
Yeah.
And they were trying to come up with an idea for Arquette to get involved in the match or to get involved on the show. So they had this idea of doing a tag match with DDP and Arquette against Jeff Jarrett and Eric Bischoff. And I guess jokingly, this is according to Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone said jokingly, why don't you just have Arquette win the world title? That will be on, that'll make headlines. Like, that'll get people to watch the show. Meaning, like, you know, people will be curious. Not because they think it's good, but because they'll be curious that, like, you know, oh, they gave the world title to David Arquette.
Yeah.
So he did it as, like, a ha-ha. And Russo took him up on it. And Russo was like, that's a great idea. And so Russo booked it. And Arquette was against it. Arquette was like, I'm not doing this. I think this is terrible. And he even told DDP, he was like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is totally, like all these guys are going to hate me. Like, I'm just here to, you know, have fun and whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, promote the movie. Like, you know, I like the wrestling and I like you guys. But, like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, be the champ. And I guess, like, they had to convince him to do it. And so he did it. And it made the cover of USA Today. It was on the front page of USA Today. It was on the front page of the sports section of USA Today. Which, Schiavone, I guess, in a sense, was right. It got headlines. It didn't get the right kind of headlines, but it got headlines. Now, to David Arquette's credit, he took that money that he made from working the WCW events, and he donated it to Brian Pillman's widow.
Oh, really?
At the time. Melanie Pillman, and I believe he donated some of it to Owen Hart's widow as well, or to the Owen Hart Foundation that is currently still up and operational to this day, offering scholarships for kids and stuff like that. So to Arquette's credit, like, he didn't want to do half of that shit, and he gave away the money that he made for it. So, you know, kudos to him.
Yeah.
As we see Hogan putting a chokehold on the mailman. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen this match before? We're watching it right now. Have you watched it before?
I'm pretty sure I have.
Okay. So, to the best of your recollection, what were your thoughts on the actual quality of the match and the performances between Rodman and Malone?
I tell you what, I would watch this match more than I would watch the Fiend Dark match, that's for sure.
when you always bring it back to Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy so much. How can he be so bad? Anyway.
That's another discussion for another day.
Absolutely. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, I thought Rodman and Malone, granted, I had zero expectations, but I thought Rodman and Malone delivered.
Yeah.
I really did. I wouldn't, like, go out of my way to watch this match, but I enjoyed this. I really did. What it was, I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, Rodman, let's put it this way. If Rodman wanted to, or even Malone too, if Rodman and Malone wanted to parlay a wrestling career after basketball, I think they would have been successful.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Rodman. Rodman knew how to get the audience to hate him. Rodman had charisma. Rodman played to the crowd. I'm sure that he learned a lot of that from Hogan, but Rodman, with his natural charisma, really took to wrestling like a fish took to water, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you.
Did you know that Rodman was also involved in another match in WCW after this?
Wait. I think I'm trying to think what it was. I'm going to kick my... It was another tag match, right?
No, it was a singles match, actually.
Was it really? Yeah. All right, now I'm intrigued. Who did Rodman wrestle in the singles match?
Randy Savage.
Did he really?
They had a match at the pay-per-view that they used to hold in Sturgis at the bike rally.
Oh, Hog Wild.
Hog Wild or Road Wild or whatever they called it. And it was actually a pretty fun match. I think there was like a no disqualification stipulation or something to it, no holds barred kind of thing. And Savage beat him up pretty good. Like, to the point where there were a few times when I watched the match, I was like, Because at the time, I had heard on the internet, there were some rumors that there was some heat on Rodman because Rodman, you know, skipped a lot of the training sessions with Savage, and Savage was pissed at him, and Savage kind of let him know during the match, you know, kind of took some liberties with him, etc. Yeah. And so there's a spot in the match where Savage and Rodman are fighting backstage, and Savage puts Rodman in the porta potty and locks the door, and then he tips the porta potty over, and Rodman comes out and he's got shit all over.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a real porta potty or real shit, but yeah.
Like, I hope not. Like, I'm telling you, if I did that spot to try to, like, teach someone a lesson, and then they came out with all that shit, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wrestle that person.
Yeah, that was at the 1999 Road Wild pay-per-view.
Okay.
It's a shot of Carl Malone. I think that's Carl Malone's wife there.
She's kind of a bit of a hottie.
Yeah, she's a cutie, yeah. I don't know if they're still together to this day, but anyhow. So I got a question for you. Name a celebrity that wasn't involved in wrestling that you think would have succeeded in a role similar to this.
Oh,
somebody, some celebrity that you thought that would have done very well in the world of wrestling.
That's such a great question. You want to go with Arnold Schwarzenegger or
Schwarzenegger? He's done some stuff with WWE before.
Maybe like a match or nothing.
Yeah,
but like
okay, that's fair. Yeah,
Stallone.
Stallone, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that it goes instantly like there. But who would do like the best? I wonder. Just because Orange Cassidy totally ripped off who he is. Who's Ryan Gosling, I guess. That is Orange Cassidy literally just said, okay, today I'm going to be Ryan Gosling.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
if I were to pick a guy, Stallone's a good choice.
Yeah.
Celebrity wise, or maybe even like a professional athlete. I mean, there's a few people out there that I think that would do really well in wrestling. You know, as a personality, or could even, like Terrell Owens. When Terrell Owens was in
That's a good one.
Very athletically gifted.
Yeah, he's fucked in the head.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, exactly. Yep. He's fucked in the head. You know, that's like one of them that comes to mind. Where like I think he would do really well in the ring, and even with a personality too. You know, Chad Ochocinco, former wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's another one I think that would really adapt well to wrestling, had they included him or had he been, you know, had he participated. Those are just a few that come to mind that weren't involved in the world of wrestling. Let me ask you something. Pat McAfee, Logan Paul, Bad Bunny, they've, you know, had their roles in WWE over the last few years. Talk about some of those. Some of those celebrity involved angles in WWE more recently.
I actually think they've been hitting out of the park with them. Like it's funny to me that Bad Bunny, Logan Paul, like these guys, they're all wrestling like the wrestlers.
You watch them and you think like they've been doing this for a few years.
Exactly, yeah. They're absolutely incredible. That I've been really, really. I don't like Bad Bunny's music or nothing like that. I know Stan's not another person.
Yep.
But like when he wrestles, I really, really enjoy it.
So did you see the match of him and Damian Priest in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, of course I did.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That should have been the main event.
Yes. That most certainly should have.
Yeah.
Yes, I would have to agree. Logan Paul, in the last few years, you know, he wrestled at WrestleMania over a year ago in the tag match against the Mysterios.
Yeah.
And that was when I first was like, that guy could have a future in wrestling. Like, he just played it up to the crowd. He did the Three Amigos Eddie Guerrero tribute with the suplex, the frog splash. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then he had, you know, the match with Miz at SummerSlam last year. That was a lot of fun. And he did the... He reminds me a lot with the risks that he takes of when Shane McMahon in some of his earlier matches.
A good analogy, yeah.
You know, that's what he kind of reminds me like, where he'll take these big risks and he works really hard. You know, he's not a wrestler,
yeah.
But there's times when you watch him and you're like, wow, he looks like he's been doing this for quite a while. He was in the Royal Rumble in the spot he did with Ricochet earlier this year,
yeah.
And then the match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. That match to me was a sleeper. It's a dark horse match for being, you know, match of the night. It was that good. Like Logan Paul does each time he wrestles, and you can say whatever you want about Logan Paul, a YouTuber, you know, he's got his own podcast. People don't like him. He's this polarizing figure, and I think that's the main part as to why WWE, you know, has brought him on and included him in these events. But every time he gets in the ring, he looks more and more like a seasoned, I'll go on and say, a seasoned veteran. Like, the match with Rollins, I thought was like, he looked like a damn equal to Rollins. And Seth Rollins is probably one of the best wrestlers in the world currently.
Yeah.
And he looked like an equal. Like,
he did belong, yeah.
Yeah, like he belonged. It was wild. So, him, Bad Bunny, I think they've been doing a great job with the celebrity aspect of their programming. Even Pat McAfee, when McAfee's gotten involved too.
Yeah.
McAfee, not as much, but McAfee, I think, is a polarizing personality. And McAfee, I'll go on record as to say he probably resembles Shane McMahon more in the sense of the skill level.
Yeah.
Because Shane McMahon wasn't a seasoned wrestler. Shane McMahon would hit a couple of high spots and people would go crazy for it.
I think Adam Cole kind of was almost like Pat McAfee, I thought, was a victim of his like own like surprise. Like that match against Adam Cole was so good.
Uh-huh.
Like you're like, oh my god, this is like the expectation of Pat McAfee. But granted, that was my opinion, his best. That was against Adam Cole. Everything else kind of like little by little worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. When was the last time we saw Pat McAfee? And I'm like, oh my god, this is awful.
I know he wrestled Baron Corbin last year at SummerSlam. I wasn't really impressed with that match. The match he had with Austin Theory at WrestleMania, when Vince got involved, the match was great. And then,
oh, you like that?
I thought the match was great. But then afterwards, when Vince got involved, I didn't like it. And then when Austin came out and saved the segment, because I thought it was terrible. When Austin came out and he kind of had that one last little, you know, send off with Vince, I thought that was kind of fun. Even though Vince botched the stunner again. Hogan missing the leg drop here on Diamond Dallas Page. As going to make the hot tag here. Page to Malone. Hogan didn't tag Rodman, but Malone in there. And now, you know, everyone's been waiting for this one. Malone and Hogan, because of the showdown they had on Nitro with those clotheslines there. What about, give me your Mount Rushmore of celebrity wrestling matches over the years. Give me the four matches that reached the Mount Rushmore of celebrity involvement in wrestling.
LT Bam Bam.
Okay.
Just, you gotta put it in there just because of the historical aspect to it. Because, my opinion, I don't even think it's close to being the most popular. It's got to be, once again, Jerry Lawler, Andy Kaufman.
Okay.
Just has, since the historical importance, you got to put that up there.
Yeah.
I liked it. So I'm going to put it on there just for the preference. Adam Cole, Pat McAfee.
Okay.
I really, really love that match.
Okay.
And my last one, it's kind of a cop out, but in the match watching now, I was like really impressed with this match.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If I'm gonna do a Mount Rushmore, LT and Bigelow definitely on there. For historical significance, I'm gonna go a different route. I'm gonna go Hogan, Mr. T against Piper and
of course
and Paul Orndorff.
Great pick.
Trying to think what else, because there's been some other good celebrity matches. Those two like really first come to mind. I would put nice diamond cutter.
Yep.
Now as good as this match is, and I like it, okay, I'm putting the match that Rodman had a year prior as a preference. Nice diamond cutter by Malone there. Rodman, Hogan against Luger and the Giant. And the only reason why I'm doing that, oh, I think we're at the finish. Disciple with the stunner as Hogan gets rolled over for the cover. 1, 2, 3. And the heels, Hogan and Rodman win the match over Diamond Dallas Page and Karl Malone. I think I was more excited for Rodman's first match in WCW when he tagged with Hogan against Luger and the Giant. So that's on there. That's the third. And if I'm going to go a fourth match, I'm going to put it up there because...
Oh, right in the Nuggets. You saw that? Right in the Nuggets.
The Disciple got hit right in the ball bag. Oh, man.
Yeah, that hurt.
A fan threw something in the ring, and Beefcake took one in the beefer. I'm going to put Bad Bunny and Damian Priest as my fourth match on the Mount Rushmore of Celebrity Wrestling matches.
Oh, I kind of want to take one. You're right.
Go with your picks. I mean, you don't have to. You can if you want to, but I'm just saying, if you know.
No, I agree with you.
How do you truly feel about? So you so
that match was incredible.
So you have Kaufman, Lawler, LT Bigelow, Adam Cole, Pat McAfee, and this match here that we just watched, Hogan and Rodman against DDP and Lawler.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep it.
I mean, these are great, and this is a great, this is a fun match. This really was. This was a lot of fun as we see the NWO coming out to celebrate with Hogan and Rodman. Malone gave the referee a diamond cutter as we're getting towards the tail end of this watch along here. And my Mount Rushmore celebrity matches, Rodman Hogan against the Giant and Luger. Hogan and Mr. T against Piper and Orndorff from WrestleMania 1. LT and Bam Bam Bigelow and Bad Bunny and Damian Priest from Backlash earlier this year. Now, before we head on out here, are there any celebrity dream matches that you would like to see? Are there celebrities that you would like to see involved in wrestling today? And who would you like to see them go up against?
Oh, great question. Celebrity. You know what? I said it, and I'm going to say it again. Ryan Gosling beats the shit out of Orange Cassidy. They're going to fuck you. You're a piece of shit, motherfucker. And you're not me. Boom. Done. That's mine.
That's yours?
Yep.
Okay. I like that. If there's a celebrity or an athlete today that I would like to see involved in a wrestling match. Oh, man. I asked the question. I'm not even prepared to give an answer. Son of a bitch. You know, I would like to see... I would like to see, I like Logan Paul. I really do. I think highly of his, of how far he's come. So I would love to see Logan Paul against like a Cody Rhodes. I'd love to see Logan Paul against a Brock Lesnar. It'd be kind of cool if Brock kind of bounced him around a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd like to see maybe even Bad Bunny against Roman Reigns. You know, adding to Roman Reigns' list of victims in this historic title reign that he's had. Those are just a few that come to mind. I'm trying to think of celebrities that aren't involved in wrestling that I think would kind of work today. Or even athletes itself. Oh, Conor McGregor from UFC. Even though he's a douchebag and I don't fucking like the guy... I think his involvement in wrestling would make for an entertaining...
Yeah, totally.
...moment. Like him in a Roman Reigns.
I don't know if I want to see him... Can you imagine Conor McGregor, Rey Mysterio Jr.
Dominic Mysterio and Conor McGregor?
They might have like a tag match against like... KO and Sammy. Oh my God, that'd be nuclear.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, we are at the end of this watch along here as we see Tony Schiavone, Bobby Heenan, and Mike Tenay closing it out. Dennis, thank you for
always a pleasure
for being here, contributing as well. I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Kicking Out at Two with Bash at the Beach. Coming up, another wild card. That's right, the Dennis J. Levy wild card, where Dennis sits down and tells us his Mantar story that he's been wanting to tell for quite some time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely it's one for the books. I'll say that. So be on the lookout for that on our next episode. And I think it's about that time that we put this one down for the three count. We'll see you all next time.